The new science of physical health.
When we finished episode 2 of this first ever Wellness War, here is what I promised you about this episode you're listening to right now. We will unveil the precise criteria used to assess and determine the winner of this momentous struggle. Not only will we delve into the cutting-edge, evidence-based learning framework that underpins the selection process, we will also explore a pivotal medical biometric that is likely unfamiliar to most. This biometric holds the key to understanding the future health risks faced by both President Trump and President Biden, encompassing complications related to sickness, disease, and premature death. Thank you for joining me back here today, President Biden, as we spend some time going through this precise selection criteria that will decide who will win the wellness war between you and former President Trump.
Well, it's great to be back with you, Shane. As I'm often quoted saying, come on, man. Let's find out how I am going to beat President 45 in the Battle of the Wellness Wars.
Great to see you have so much enthusiasm, Mr. President. I created this concept of the Wellness Wars, a health showdown between the famous, specifically to help people to learn to live longer. The outcome of this very different method of teaching will be to create enough deep engagement that it gives every single user of the Wellness Wars program the ability to drive down their clinical risk of complications from what I call the big four: obesity, catastrophic cardiovascular events like heart attack and stroke, diabetes, and the cluster condition known as metabolic disease. Your desire to do well against President Trump is a big help towards solving one of my biggest teaching struggles. How do I get people to fall in love with wanting to be physically healthy in the first place? President Biden, I label this as the biggest public health problem of the 21st century. Emphasis on the word problem. Most educators around the world, like me, try to solve what I label the biggest public health crisis of the 21st century, emphasis on the word crisis. And it means this: educators are trying to get people to learn about and improve their medical biometrics like cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, and others. I contend that if we do not get people to fall in love with wanting to be physically healthy in the first place, then we will struggle for generations to come.
That is a fascinating approach. As keeps getting pointed out by my political opponents all the time, I have lived a long time, and you are the first teacher I have ever heard that is building a project to solve the health education puzzle by creating a focus on getting people to fall in love with wanting to be physically healthy first, before you tackle the how to do it component. I have been told by some of my staff in my briefing notes that you have a brand new teaching technology that gives you the ability to guarantee people become less sick and at less clinical risk of disease.
Absolutely correct, Mr. President. My journey over the past decade in education has been nothing short of incredible. Throughout my teaching career, I've had the honor of collaborating with over 100 brilliant PhDs, hailing from diverse disciplines such as cardiology, vascular medicine, exercise physiology, public health, molecular biology, cognitive neuroscience, and many more. These interactions have shaped my perspective and fueled my passion for health education and health technology. On my podcast, I've been fortunate enough to sit down with some of the world's most distinguished doctors, many of whom are based right here in the USA. Inspired by my 37 years of teaching health and physical education, along with my deep fascination for health technology and the groundbreaking work of these accomplished PhDs that I've sat down with, or interacted with, or worked with directly, I set out to create a revolutionary platform that I've called the Outsmart Classroom. It's this remarkable convergence of all my expertise. Inside it, I've created frameworks, strategies, and tactics that get every user to be at 30 to 54% less clinical risk from those big four: obesity, catastrophic cardiovascular events like heart attack and stroke, diabetes, and the cluster of conditions known as metabolic disease, so that I can get people to outsmart sickness, disease, and premature death. You know, at the heart of that innovation, my Outsmart Classroom, lies this technology that I call DocSmart, a cutting-edge teaching technology developed by my software team. So aptly named DocSmart, or in reverse, Smart Doctor, because it's capable of answering an astounding 100,000 unique questions all at once, providing each individual who uses it with personalized responses. The power of DocSmart has fundamentally transformed the landscape of teaching for me, enabling me to engage with an unparalleled number of students from all corners of the globe. I just imagine the possibilities with my teaching and the vast knowledge from these exceptional PhDs. DocSmart empowers learners with an unrivaled access to expertise and insights. Now, the secret of DocSmart lies in harnessing the incredible capabilities of a large language learning model, also known as OpenAI technology, which ensures this seamless and dynamic learning experience for every participant.
This is truly mind-blowing, Shane. I must share this groundbreaking technology with the First Lady. It's a testament to the boundless ingenuity and creativity of individuals from all walks of life around the world. As the President, I am continually amazed by the remarkable advancements that are reshaping education and empowering learners like never before. DocSmart is an innovation that I personally have never come across before. This is truly fascinating.
Thank you, Mr. President. If you don't mind, I'd like to share a short video/audio clip. There's an interview I did with one of the world's most renowned PhDs of cardiology and exercise physiology from Norway, Professor Ulrik Wisloff. In these 2 minutes that I'm about to share with you and the audience, he discusses a new critical medical biometric that he and his team from the Norwegian University of Science and Technology have spent time researching. The biometric that he's about to discuss is what I call a health impact score, and it will feature heavily in the Wellness Wars.
That sounds excellent. Let's have a listen to Professor Wisloff. I would be fascinated to know how it works, if it can help me win my wellness war with President Trump.
And so on. So a long story short was that everyone agrees that heart rate reflects your body and your kid's body's response to any physical activity.
Yeah.
And then I thought, can we make something meaningful out of heart rate that is related to health outcome? Because heart rate is also meaningless if you can't relate it to something. So we had this. I had this idea, and we tested 5,000 people on a treadmill in a health survey. 5,000. So it's a crazy job. We used 1.5 years to do this, and they were aged 13 to 90 years, and we were able to make this. We were studying the heart rate pattern over a week, and we tried to, can we link that to a health score or a health status? And we were able to do that. So we observed that those that had a certain heart rate pattern, they had good cardiovascular health, and those that did not or had a different heart rate pattern over a week, they had poor cardiovascular health. And then we graded this into a score from 0 to 100 and above.
So that is Professor Wisloff, Mr. President, who many eminent research doctors from the United States work with on a yearly basis. The medical research from Professor Wisloff have even appeared in gold standard scientific position statements from the American Heart Association. Let me explain from my perspective, a health teacher, what the true impact is of the health score, this new biometric medical that he just finished off talking about right now. President Biden, I have here in front of me on my computer screen a pattern, a graph of your personal heart rate for the past 7 days. I would like to teach you how we examine it in light of the medical research from Professor Wisloff and his team from Norway. We're going to take your heart rate pattern and convert it into a health impact score with an explanation, and then show you some software that does it automatically. Then we're going to explain how this new medical biometric, the health impact score, is the number one determining factor in deciding if you win this wellness war or whether President Trump wins it.
All right, you have got my attention now. I was wondering why my medical staff came to me last week and asked if they could share my heart rate pattern with you before this interview.
Excellent. So let's examine this computer printout of your heart rate pattern on the screen from a couple of days ago. First of all, the graph starts at midnight and finishes at midnight, this 24-hour period. Your heart rate graph, Mr. President, tells us how many beats per minute your heart beats at any given time of the day between those hours of midnight to midnight. The data is simply captured from a quality smartwatch. Now, the first part to examine is what happened between midnight and 6:30 a.m.
Okay.
As I scroll along the graph with my mouse and click onto different parts of it, say at 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m., 6 a.m., what we see is that there is a different number, slightly different number, that is your heartbeats per minute at each of those 1 hour intervals. We could choose any time we want. Those heartbeats per minute from that midnight to 6:30 a.m. are quite low compared to the rest of your day upcoming with the graph that we'll go through and examine in just a moment. Now, this is as expected, because when we sleep at nighttime, we don't get up much. Of course, some of us need to go to the bathroom a bit more as we age, me included.
Yep, I can definitely attest to that.
So when we examine your heart rate graph, we see that from about 12 a.m., when you've been asleep for around 2 hours, right through to about 6 a.m., your heartbeats per minute averaged 59. Now, this is what I call a good resting, an excellent resting heart fitness score, especially as you move from your 60s to 70s and now in your 80s.
Okay, I am off to a good start then. Shane, tell me, why is 59 beats per minute considered to be a good resting heart fitness score? And how does this help me win the wellness war?
Well, Mr. President, there are three critical medical biometrics the professors from all around the world agree are massively influential in creating something called positive molecular and physiological health adaptations. Some of those doctors that I've interviewed and consulted with and worked with that have provided the medical research to back up these three critical medical biometrics, they include these kinds of people. One we've already listened to just briefly a moment ago, Professor Ulrich Wisloff, who is this PhD in exercise physiology and cardiology from Norway. Another one that I've spoken with and spent some time with, Dr. Eduardo Sanchez. He's the chief medical officer for prevention for the American Heart Association. He's down in Dallas. Dr. Geetha Raghuveer, she is the director of preventative cardiology and also a pediatric cardiologist from out in Kansas. Then there's Professor, she's in the university, by the way, University of Missouri, Kansas City Medical School. Dr. Barry Franklin is the director of preventative cardiology. Great man, very interesting to talk with. And he's the director of preventative cardiology and cardiac rehabilitation at the Beaumont Health Royal Oak in Michigan. Then there is my all-time hero, if you like, in the medical field, who has got even the age gap covered on you, President Biden, Dr. Kenneth Cooper from the esteemed and world-famous Cooper Clinic in Dallas, Texas. Dr. Cooper, as I have this conversation right now, is 92 years old still lectures. I saw him a couple of years ago when he was 89. I flew from here in Sydney, Australia, all the way to Nashville, Tennessee, and got to spend a couple of hours with Dr. Cooper, who is the person that I consider to be the father of the new science of physical health. Then there's another one, Dr. Carl Lavie from Louisiana. He's an American cardiologist and research cardiologist. He's the medical director of cardiac rehabilitation and preventative cardiology at the John Ochsner Heart and Vascular Institute in New Orleans. Then here in Australia, Dr. Alta Shoot is the professor and lead of cardiac and vascular and metabolic medicine at the Faculty of Medicine for the Health at the University of New South Wales, here, right here in Sydney, Australia. She's also spent some fantastic time in a meeting with Dr. Shoup. She's been the past president of the International Society for Hypertension. There are over 100 of these PhDs that I can't name all of them right now in our conversation. But if people listening to this conversation want to find out and hear from all of the PhDs that I've worked with over the past decade of my career, in their talk, in their own voices, conversations with me, and even include, I've converted some of our conversations into some mini-series, I've included them in a special section of my online learning technology, the Outsmart Classroom.
Wow, man. That is an incredible amount of work you have been doing as an educator, spending time talking with so many experts and then converting their research into simple lessons.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's been an enormous job, but a great passion of mine. I wanted to build a set of lessons that could not be argued against or shot down by people with opinions instead of evidence. Nevertheless, getting back to your heart rate graph at nighttime and your resting heart fitness score of 59 beats a minute. Here is why that is so good and what it means specifically in this wellness war with President Trump. Dr. Barry Franklin, a cardiologist from Michigan who graciously spent some time with me, gave me a set of research papers where he was the lead professor. These papers, published by the American Heart Association, highlight how a low resting heart fitness score has a direct correlation with someone's risk of developing the number one cause of sickness and disease and premature death, which is heart attacks and stroke. In the research that he gave me, patients who had lower mortality were found to be individuals with a resting heart fitness score, wait for it, of less than 60 beats a minute. Similarly, patients with a high resting heart fitness score, greater than 80 beats a minute, were at greater risk from cardiovascular disease, heart attacks and strokes, catastrophic cardiovascular disease, and something we call all-cause mortality. That means all causes of sickness and death. So the people with the higher resting heart fitness score of 80 beats per minute and above, compared to a person like you with 59 beats and 60 beats and below, that there is a much higher risk for the people in the higher category.
Okay, Shane, here's the first question I have about my resting heart fitness score. It's a pretty simple one, too. Why is a lower one better than a higher one?
Great question, Mr. President. The simple answer is this. Having a lower score creates positive molecular and physiological health adaptations. These adaptations cause a structural and functional improvement in the major components of your body that can cause sickness and disease. So what it means, to unravel that a little bit, is this. You have improved function and structure of your heart muscle, blood vessel network, cell structure, important biochemical pathways, and operation of something called critical organelles that are located in every cell of the human body. Now, what I want to do at this point, talking with you and the audience, is clarify this even further by running through a couple of complex examples that I've tried to make as simple as possible from the over 100 PhDs in medicine and vascular medicine and cardiology and exercise physiology and all these different areas that I've worked with over the past decade. So just to put it in a straightforward format, there is complex medical research that I spent time working with more than 100 PhDs, and each of those PhDs are connected to a team of people that work with them. So it's not just 100 that have put this worldwide research together, much of it in the USA, but also in other parts of the world as well. And I've taken that complex research and broken it down into some simple things. So let me talk about now the changes, the positive molecular and physiological health adaptations, a couple of simple examples. Here we go. Example number one. Okay, that's the famous transition bell that I put into all of my episodes when the actual episode that's created has gone on a lot longer than around 20 or 25 minutes. That's about the limit of the length of episodes. So that example that I'm about to walk you through and my discussion with President Biden continues in episode number 4 and in episode number 5. Then when we get to episode number 6 of Who Will Win the Wellness Wars, we go back to the conversation with President Trump. And we begin to have this incredible discussion of how we understand the precise selection criteria on finding out who will win this first ever wellness war. So join me as soon as you can for the next episode, episode number 4 of Who Will Win the Wellness Wars between President Biden and President Trump, where we continue to pick up this conversation and exactly from where we left off about example number 1. From the new science of physical health, I'm Shane Stubbs, and the question is this: who will win the wellness wars?